This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Who wants to start?
Ready?
Advanced Selling Podcast.
Oh, it's Friday the 13th. Did you realize that?
I used to get all emotional about that. I don't anymore.
If I were you, I'd wear my helmet on Friday the 13th. Just saying.
I didn't. I know.
Yeah. It's one of those things that there are two types of motorcycle riders, those who have been in an accident and those who will be in an accident.
I know,
correct?
I know.
Isn't that accurate?
The thing I like about a helmet is when I get going over 45 miles an hour, I have enough face fat that it starts to move around. And so I like to have that helmet on to not protect me from a fall, but to keep my face fat.
I like that. We're here every week, the Advanced Selling Podcast, trying to help you with your sales life. We hope we do that effectively. I've got one shout out. Can I do a shout out?
You bet.
Another down under person. We have got to do a trip to Australia.
We've been saying that for four years.
Thad didn't say that I could use his last name, so maybe he'll write back and say. But Thad connected with us on LinkedIn, which I love when people connect with us on LinkedIn. Advanced Selling Podcast listener from Australia. So Thad, there's your shout out.
Beautiful.
And if you want me to say your last name, write me back and I'll say you the last name next time.
Is that an Australian name, Thad?
I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard it in America, but I didn't know if it was an Australian.
I will tell you, his last name appears to be Italian, but I could be
making
that up. It ends in a vowel. Let's put it that way.
Oh, that's a giveaway. Now everybody knows who that is.
And in case you cough, so that our listeners and viewers watch, you have a what stuck in your.
We just went to lunch to do some show prep.
We did.
If you know what I mean? And it was not a liquid lunch. It was actually solid. And somehow I had an iced tea and I got a lemon seed or something caught right in between the, well.
It's esophageal purgatory.
Yeah, it's awful. I can't sniff it out. I can't cough it out. So
it's either going to come out your nose or your throat.
And correct? It might come out during the session.
Yeah, we'll watch.
All right.
Today's topic, a little setup here. I was in my football officiating career, get to come across some real neat people and meet them. And I came across a gentleman named Howard Mudd, who was the offensive line coach for the Indianapolis Colts for the last 12 or 13 years, has been an NFL coach for well over 30 years, an NFL player, Pro Bowl guy. And he just retired. Wonderful human being. He's got lots of wisdom to share. So we were talking about business and football and how they compare. He gave me this little idea for a way to bring content to people. And I'm going to paraphrase it, but
you should.
It's called Stuff That I Know Works. Stuff That I Know Works. Now, he used a different word for stuff.
Right.
Football coach.
We got
get that.
Started with an S problem.
We're going to clean it up and say, yes, Stuff That I Know Works. So we thought, what a great idea to write down things that we know.
And he had a pretty good record, so his stuff did work.
Yeah, he successfully protected Peyton Manning, his offensive lineman, for, 12 years or so.
12 years,
no major injuries, no big hits and things like that. And just a great guy. So this is a kind of a tribute to Howard Mudd, and we're going to do stuff that we know works.
Not on the football field. We're talking
sales,
right?
No, we're talking sales. Okay. This is sales stuff that we know works.
All right.
No,
I've got a few.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're covering our
papers. I'm not going to let you see mine because you've been known to steal these.
Like we can read each other's writing anyway. Okay, you go first.
The stuff that I know works, number one, it's it's make the customer, create an atmosphere where the customer is telling you what's wrong or what he or she wants fixed. I overheard a financial advisor in a restaurant the other day pitching one of his prospects. It was appalling to me. Not once, and I heard him from the time they first started, it was like they had never met before. Not once did the financial advisor ever ask the prospect, and I could tell this prospect had some bucks. I mean, he drove up in a real nice car, and I could just tell he was a 55-year-old guy, salt and pepper hair. Salt and pepper hair. Now, there's a descriptor from the past. But never once did he say, what do you want to accomplish? Why did you invite me to come out to coffee with you? What is it about your future that you're most concerned with? Never once. And at the end, what did the prospect say? You know what? I really appreciate this time. Let me give it some thought. Let me get back with you.
Yeah, great.
We all know this. We all know that we need to be asking the prospect, what's the problem? What's the situation? But, you know, I'm not sure we do.
Yeah. We know we need to. The question is, do we do it in practice?
Yep.
It's just there's such a desire to want to tell everyone what we do and how we help and all these other things.
Okay, so you can see that now that I've revealed it. Go ahead.
Okay, you ready? Here's what I know works. Not wanting to make a sale when I show up to a sales call always works because it does two things. Number one, for me, It puts my mind at ease and removes pressure from myself to get any outcome. Therefore, I don't try to coerce or control people.
Okay, whoa. Slow down. Sorry. Say it again. Because no, this is important. I don't want to lose this point. It's really important.
It does two things. The first for me is it takes the pressure off of me so that I don't go in with an attempt to try to coerce or control people, which if I want to make a sale, that's where my strategy, my words, and my energy go.
And if there's pressure on you, you act differently.
I do.
What do you do, not you personally, but what do we all do when we feel pressure? I mean, it varies. It comes out in different ways.
Yeah. I do all sorts of things. I rush. I go too quickly. I don't listen. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking of what to say next. Yeah. I disengage.
That could be what happened to our financial advisor friend.
Yeah, right.
He might have felt the pressure. He was dealing with a large investment potential, and he might have felt pressure, and he just talked too much.
Yeah.
So
then what it does for the prospect, as you would imagine, if the pressure is off of me as the salesperson, then the pressure is off of the person that I'm speaking with, because they will feel that. So this is a mentality I'm talking about here. When I show up, I'm not there to make a deal.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, you've taken one of mine. And
of course.
Mine is it's the attitude of detachment, which is the same thing, which is I'm really detached from the outcome of whether this person likes me, buys from me, pays me money, uses me. And when you're detached, you get a chance to become clearer about what you want to accomplish. And hopefully it has something to do with them, with solving their problem.
One would hope, wouldn't you?
So we got three there, but really two.
Sorry,
so we may have to take a little pause here. I may have to come up with another one.
Yeah, well, I'll give you some time. Go ahead. Okay, here's number two.
All right.
Something that I know works in the sales world. This is fairly new for me, relatively speaking, and for us, I believe, is what I know works is offering alternatives instead of just one solution. And we, and me included, we used to just teach, okay, you do this pain finding and you connect, and then you find that a real descriptive solution to the pain, you present that one thing. Mm-hmm. Once we move from that to alternatives and there are choices to be made, the buyer, the person that is looking for help, has buy-in into what the proposal looks like and what the deliverable looks like. And I found that people, they love the freedom of the beginning of the conversation when we say that it's okay to say no, and if we don't do a deal, it's okay. They love that part, and they also love the choice and the freedom they have if we have alternatives versus just one solution.
Mm-hmm. So in your alternative strategy, is one of those alternatives your recommendation? I mean, do you bring your expertise into it, or is it more just here's the gold plan, here's the silver plan, here's the bronze plan?
I think it is a combination of the two. One alternative is to do nothing, to remain status quo. That's always there. And then two more alternatives might be a degree of engagement, whatever that means. And that could be, like you said, blue, gold, silver, bronze, whatever that means. And then there's always this choice, as well, I lay these alternatives out, that there may be some hybrid of these that we don't know yet. And so this becomes a discussion
more than a presentation.
You got it. Yeah. That's it. Discussion versus presentation.
I think in a lot of our clients' businesses, they are looked upon, and rightfully so, and desiredly so, as the expert. And so if you are in an expert sale where people are looking to you saying, you have advice, you have know-how, I think it's also incumbent upon you to create your recommendation.
Yes.
Given all the things that I've heard, I mean, you wouldn't want the doctor to say, well, we can either operate or give you pills. What do you want to do?
Not sure. Yeah.
He would say, look, here's my recommendation. You try ice for a couple of weeks, then you try ibuprofen, and then we're going to go with the knife. So if you're in a business where people rely upon you for your expertise, not just as a sales rep, and hopefully we're all moving toward that, don't be bashful about giving your recommendation.
Very good. Very good.
Pardon me?
Did you come up with one?
I did. Just as you were talking, I really wasn't listening to you.
Inspired, I could tell.
Totally inspired. But now I can't read it. Oh, get money on the table. And here's what the instant you're going, hear that, you're going to think, okay, well, he wants me to talk about how much my service costs. And that's not what I mean by money. What I mean by money is all things money. So it could be the cost of the problem that this prospect or client has told you they have. It could be the cost of the solution. It could be budget. It could be anything that has to do with dollars and cents. Because here's what happens. Usually, we hold that for the very end.
Usually.
Hopefully, we don't because we know better. But the amateur salesperson holds it to the very end. And then when it comes up, it has all this emotion and sticking point around it.
Yeah.
The only way you don't want to leave it to the end is if you have conditioned the prospect up front that it's going to be a certain amount of money and they are okay with that and it comes in less. Even if it comes in the same, then it's not a pleasurable thing. Yep. It definitely, if their mental budget is $1 million and you come in at 1.5, you're going to be messed up. But but I would even bring it up front and say, and you could even go back to this alternative thing. You say, look, there's two or three ways we can do this. One is going to be in the $100,000 to $200,000 range. Where are you comfortable?
Yep.
And I think that helps.
I love that, and I love the choice and the freedom and flexibility of investment. So long as you're protected as the salesperson on your end, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Now, if you sell something that has one price and that's it, like if you sell copiers and it's either the Epson or the HP, and there's not a lot of choices in between, then I think you still have to have that conversation up front about where would you be most comfortable financially.
Yep.
I think if you have that discussion, we always assume people are going to say the cheap, but I don't think they do when they're given the choice up front.
I don't either. Yeah. I definitely don't. Okay, last one here.
Last one.
Good to go. Okay, here's what I know works. Consistent, concerted outbound behavior. Consistent and concerted outbound behavior. I like to break a phrase down when I'm analyzing it. So consistent means that I do it all the time. Fair?
Okay.
Yep. Right? Frequently, the same frequency all the time. Concerted means that I'm very direct and deliberate about what I'm doing, that I've got a plan and I know exactly where I'm going and what I'm doing. That's what concerted means to me, that that I've got some gumption behind my activity. Mm-hmm. And then outbound behavior means that I'm out in my market. Now, outbound behavior does not mean making a boatload of cold calls.
Good.
That's not what that means. It means that you're in your market in multiple different ways.
Yeah.
Could mean cold calls. I'd rather see it meaning that I am out interfacing with connectors, people that can connect me to people. I'm interfacing with my existing clients to talk about how they might introduce me to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm participating in conversations that can be held online. So if I'm in a LinkedIn group or I'm following someone on Twitter or I'm doing something, maybe it's Facebook, whatnot, that I'm in the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm writing blogs. I'm putting content out. I'm putting knowledge out. That to me is all
outbound.
Part of consistent, concerted outbound behavior. Doing a podcast, consistent, concerted outbound behavior.
You know, when we started this business here 10 or 15 years ago, there was really only one outbound behavior. Well, two is either mailing something out or calling someone.
Yeah.
And now it's phenomenal because you don't have to do that anymore.
No.
There's all different ways. It doesn't mean don't do it. It means there's other alternatives. And that your cold calling or your outbound mailing may be one of many different things. But don't hold yourself to one because it's just too confining.
Yeah, no doubt. So I hope that's helpful. Stuff that we know works. We'd love to hear from you. Stuff that you know works. You can email us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com. You can also find us on LinkedIn, B. Neal and B. Caskey.
Mm-hmm.
B. Caskey, yeah. And same with Twitter, B. Neal and B. Caskey. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to BillCaskey.com or to iTunes.